You know, that's exactly what I want to be. I'm sure that's what we all want to be, is like Jesus. And yeah, you know, when I'm behind here, if I make a mistake, it's okay because you can't hear me. But you know, we live in an imperfect world, don't we? We live with a lot of hiccups, a lot of potholes, a lot of issues that come up, and we have to be more like Jesus. And so, you know, looking at this passage here, I'm just amazed in John chapter 4. Everybody has heard of the woman at the well, just about since Sunday school, since we're probably about this high off the ground. We heard about a lady who went there in the afternoon. It was very hot. You know, Jesus comes up and he travels with his disciples about 70 miles, and he's dead tired. You know, it took him a couple days to get up there from down south. And he travels up there, and, you know, you have Mount Ebal on one side, and you have Mount Gizrael on the other. And right off Mount Gizrael, you have Jacob's well. And so this is the land of Samaria. And so here you have Christ. He comes up and he decides, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and take a break. And his disciples were like, well, you know, we're going to go get you something to eat. We're going to get something to eat. We're hungry. Now, this is the point of the message, and please get this, is that Jesus is about to do his Father's business. When I use that word, thankful, Lord, in my prayer about being in our Father's house, that means that we're followers of Jesus. We want to be more like God's Son. We want to be more like Jesus is about to do his business. And as we'll find out next week, that Jesus will commit his second miracle. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't do a miracle at the well. He was sitting right down there next to this woman. Broke all the laws. Oh my goodness, the taboos that were going around. Oh, you could not talk to a woman in public. That was a no-no. And, you know, even the Jewish, well, I almost said hypocrites, excuse me. But the Jewish priests and the rabbis and all were like, hey, you know, if we can't even spend time talking to people, or else we can even go to hell if we don't spend enough time in the Torah. And that's an extreme. Some people live in the extremes today. And, you know, of course you had, you know, we were called some of the Pharisees last week, bloody Pharisees. Why? Because they weren't even allowed to look upon a woman. Oh, my goodness. So they called them bloody Pharisees because they would run into walls. They get hurt. They you know, fall over because they're not allowed to look on a woman. Sometimes I think people have got real issues and talk about them all the time are the ones with the issues. You know what I'm saying? So basically, it was like, you know, Christ was there, and, you know, we're going to look at today the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. Christ is our Savior. You know, it's only mentioned two times, and once found in 1 John 4:14, and the other one found here in this passage. But he is the Savior of the world. And, you know, it's amazing, but God, years ago, saved us. We realize that he was our Savior of the world. This woman, as we looked at last week also, that, you know, she was questioning Jesus. And, you know, it pretty much let her guard down to a certain extent. You ever get around somebody that you can let your guard down? Just a little bit, but not too much. Because you never know what they're thinking, right? You got to be careful. So, you know, they had a conversation, and, you know, nobody was around because most women went early in the morning with their lady friends, right? And, you know, the guys were at work or whatever in that time. And so she just started talking to Jesus. And we looked at last week that Jesus was not a racist. Because for a Jew, let alone to talk to a woman in public as well alone, you know, sometimes we have to be careful, right? Who we hang around with, who we talk with. And I'm not asking people here today or myself, you know, oh, you need to be, you know, check on everything, look underneath everything. Some people are like that. They look under every little thing to make sure everything's in place. That would drive me nuts. You ever been to somebody's house before? And you have to be real careful. The mannerism goes, well, you know, be polite. And they're the hostess. And you go into their house and they invite you over there. And, you know, you wait until you're asked to sit down and all. Well, you know what? Jesus felt at home with this lady. And so Jesus was not a racist. You know, we looked at that last week. We also looked at, you know, today people look at because somebody who's white. Oh, by the way, went to a restaurant the other day, and as Kimberly and I were leaving, you had a whole row, about 15 of them. You know how it is with restaurants when they're waiting to go sit down. They're all African American. And for some reason, all the people were, some people were leaving. And Kimberly and I come along in the back, and a couple of them said, hey, how are you doing? I was like, great, praise God, the food was wonderful, thank you. And they all smiled, and we had a little conversation going on about the Lord. Not one white person was there, but they're all, you know, African American. So they're, you know, my point is, I don't think about people's race or color. I love them anyway. We're all brown. A shade of brown, darker or lighter brown in the pigment, by the way. So this whole racist philosophy is a bunch of political garbage. Belongs in the garbage can, okay? And nobody's going to make me feel inferior because I'm made in Christ, and I'm thankful that Christ has made me just the way I am. I mean, we should be thankful for just the way we are. We should encourage one another today. Next time we look in the mirror and we're like, oh my goodness, what was that? We look in the mirror and say, thank God I'm alive, and thank God, you know, I have another day to serve him, and, you know, do whatever you got to do. You got to do, right? But Jesus took her for who she was. We also looked at, too, here, that not only was Jesus not a racist, but, you know, she reasoned with the Lord. She reasoned with the Lord. And she's, remember, Jesus said, well, why don't you go get your husband, and you know, at least, you know, on the outside, you know, Jesus knew who she was, and on the outside, go get your husband so it'll look right, you know. And the lady's like, no, I don't think so. And of course Jesus says, you know, you've had five husbands. In other words, pretty much, lady, you slept with five different guys, okay? She wasn't married. And you could flip the coin on the other side today, too, with guys sleeping around with women. But this is at the well. The well is a picture of eternal life that God gives us. It's an analogy there that God gives us the springs of living water through Jesus Christ that never runs dry. Okay, we talked about that last week. There's a spring under the well. And then lastly, we looked at religion. You know, there's a lot of religion around today. And yet we saw, too, that the Samaritans, they were a mixed breed back from the those that had to go into captivity. In Nehemiah's time and Jeremiah's time, the Assyrians interbred with the Jewish women. And you had the Samaritans. Therefore, you had the hypocrisy that the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans, and the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. That is what's going on in our country today. People are trying to divide and conquer. And what does Christ say in his word? A country divided against itself cannot stand. That's where we're at right now. Looked at this past presidential speech that they had on TV, and you had half the Congress applaud, the other half just sat there with their hands folded like this. Divide and conquer. pray for our country. So getting back to what happened with Jesus, continue on here. We're looking at He is the Savior of the world. Thank God, because this world is passing away. It's going, and it'll be gone. But it says here in verse 31, while Jesus is talking to this lady, and she is a lady, verse 25, and says here, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And I forgot to tell you this too, in Amos 3:2, that the Jewish people had a certain pride about themselves. They were thinking they were the only ones that were going to heaven. They were the only ones that were justified in God's sight. But unfortunately, their pride turned into rebellion. Rebellion turned into, guess what? I don't have to go out and evangelize. They thought they were God's own chosen people. Why am I saying this? It's because God saved us. It was God that called us into salvation. Well, you know, we can go and we seek after Christ. But I remember I did that for years before coming to know the Lord. I remember, you know, okay, God, if you're real, then you got to show yourself. Well, he did this day at the well. Why at the well? Well, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by him. He is the one. And so what a remarkable miracle in our lives that we're saved today. You know, we can look back and say, you know, one brother told me the other day, he says, you know, hey, before I was saved, I would have never been this way. You know, I'm still struggling with sins that I have, but I know he forgives me. And I thank God I have a Savior, because nobody's perfect. And the world thinks, oh, you go to church and you put on a big act and you try to fool people. You know, that's not real. That's not true. Because the woman at the well was looking for answers in life. There are so many people questioning life today. You just go out in the streets and talk to people about Jesus. Forget about the religion. I don't care what kind of religious background you have. It's your relationship. The lady at the well, the Samaritan, she was looking for a relationship with God. Jesus says, I'm here. Isn't that great? During the week, this past week, you know, you can seek God. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord says, I'm here. There was a couple that went out to Mexico. And I was kidding around with them before church. And it's like, I don't know why. You don't think I'm weird or something. Now I'm saying this live online, telling everybody this. But their faces appeared to me. They just appeared to me in my mind. I was like, Bert and Judy, they must be praying for me. So I need to be praying for them. And people I meet throughout the week, sometimes I see faces or cars. Oh, that reminds me of somebody's car. Oh, I need to pray for them. It's not weird. You know, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's exciting, because it's exactly what happened here at the well. Jesus is there. God's there. Is God in our lives today? Of course he is. But as me, I know in my heart, I like sometimes the flesh is like, I want more of you. And I'm like, no, I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be. Why did the ladies choose that song? Because I think that was part of my message, you know, to be more like Jesus and less of myself. So she's seeking Jesus. Verse 27, it says this, And upon this came his disciples and marveled, and he talked with the woman. And yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And so here they were, and, you know, they were just left alone until the disciples came up. They were going out to the grocery store. They were going to the 7-Eleven or McDonald's to pick something up. And they come on up and they're like, oh, you know, no one's bothering you. You're just doing fine talking with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? When we can talk with the Lord, we don't have to have somebody who has to be intermediate with us. We don't have to go to a priest. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. He's there. He's there all the time, 24/7. You can lay there in bed at night and you'd be like, oh, there you are, Lord. Okay, let me talk to you for a minute. You got time? Lord's like, I got all time in the world because I created it. 1,000 years is in the days, the days of 1,000 years of the Lord. Think about that. He doesn't think like time like we do. And here it was a hot afternoon, no shade. Disciples are coming up and they're saying, Lord, you're still talking with this woman? Don't you know? Yeah, don't we know about a lot of things in life? And don't we know that he has given us the freedom in Christ to live for him, not for the flesh? So it says here, then verse 28 says, and the woman then left her the water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come and see which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Isn't it interesting? Is she left the water pot. She was so excited. And have you ever, I think we all get excited this week. We've gotten excited this past week, haven't we? This past month or year. Already it's February 19th. I got it. But you know what? She was so excited, she didn't forget about it. She's like, I can't wait to tell people about this Jesus. Remember about our first love, the first time we accepted Christ as our Savior? We just couldn't wait. We were so excited to tell people about the Lord. And so she went down there. The people knew everything about this lady. She lived in that town, Sychar. And they were like, oh, listen to what she has to say. No kidding. Well, you know how people gossip and they talk, and, you know, word gets around, people aren't perfect and they say things they shouldn't. They get, it's like musical chairs, you know, you forget what you're supposed to say and, you know, and then all of a sudden you're left without a seat to sit on and you're like, oh, okay, I got that wrong, or I was a little slow on saying it, and the whole thing gets misinterpreted. You know what? These people knew exactly what she was talking about. She went down there and told them. They knew exactly where she was coming from. And they were like, oh, sometimes, you know, we can get excited for the Lord and say things we didn't even realize what happened. The same restaurant, believe it or not, we went to the other day. I told you about those African-American people there. And by the way, I'm Anglo-Saxon, by the way, if you want to never mind. You had a group of people sitting behind Kimberly, and, you know, I figured when we got there, you know, they were finishing up, because you notice things like that when you're eating out. And I had to take her out for Valentine's, by the way, too, because, you know, a little slow. So we went out, and this guy quoted Psalms 23. Now, I don't know who he was, but the whole table, they were looking around like they were, you know, I just happened to look over and he started reading from the Bible. And this one little kid was looking around like this. He's real excited. Is anybody listening to this? And the whole room got quiet. And there was, of course, you go into Wisconsin to a restaurant, they have bars just about everywhere, you know. So I don't think the people even heard it because they're down there talking. And this guy quoted Psalms 23, and word for word. I was like, I just sat there, mouth wide open. Now, I didn't have food in it, so, you know, please. But I was just like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. I said, Kimberly, did you hear that? She goes, quiet, quiet, quiet. I want to hear this. Guy went on, quoted Psalms 23. Now, I know you all go to the restaurants, wherever you go, and you pray, right? Before you eat. And you're not there for a show and tell with people. You're just quiet. Well, when we pray quietly. We say what we have to say. We had tables on either side. And these people got real quiet. It's like, wow, did you see that? They're actually praying. I'm like, my point is there's no shame. There's no shame. I'm just trying to encourage everybody today. Don't need to be ashamed of it. Because I'd rather not be ashamed of that. I don't want to stand before God and be ashamed before him. God playing back my life and say, why didn't you? And he'll understand, you know. But if we're bold, he'll be like, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to pray in public all the time. Sometimes you just bow your head and you just pray quietly. And there's different ways of doing it, respectfully. I got that. But you know what? Getting back here to the woman at the well, she left her water pot, told everybody what was going on. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. And then meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You know, it's interesting. I want to stop here because he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And did you ever get so excited about something that you were hungry and then your appetite goes away? It just it's gone because you're so busy about doing something. Ever had your mom or your dad call you for dinner when you were younger? Time for dinner. Oh, I have to go to dinner now. I'm so excited. I like what I'm doing. Or I'm reading a good story. Or, you know, it might have been this past week you're working on a project or you're witnessing somebody about the Lord or you're reading something and, you know, you look at the time. Well, Christ, he wants us to look that way. It says in verse 32, but he said unto them, to his disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Remember Jesus said in Deuteronomy and Matthew, what man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of the word of God that he gets. You know, it's not that. And, you know, today we have to be focused on not letting the flesh take over what we have. And I'm very thankful that we have saints here that are transforming more and more like Christ. I told somebody the other day, you don't come here because of me. You come here because I'm pointing people to Christ. You come here because you want to get fed. You come here because you want to be more like Jesus. I need, as we talked about this the other day about being a good teacher, I said, you all teach me because I need to be taught. You know, I said the lessons that you all have taught me over this year and a half that I've been here, going on 2 years, I said, have taught me so much. I said, you all have been a wealth. I feel very wealthy. You know, some people have, you know, talked about wealth, but I'm talking about spiritual wealth. And I'm learning so much, and I hope I never, ever get too old or to get too bald to say, you know, I've had enough. Oh, I've arrived. Because no way. I'm always learning. And so Jesus had to go about his Father's business. And Jesus said unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. And behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. I could see this 4 months earlier. Now, if anybody's lived in the wheat fields, okay, I did it one time, and the wheat fields come up as green. You know, the farms are not far from here at all. And so I could see Jesus looking out at it over Samaria and looking at this town, Sychar, and looking and seeing the people dressed in white. And it dawned on me the comparison, because when wheat is ready to harvest, it has white tops to it. And so, you know, sometimes you can harvest before it's ready. There are other times when it's not the right time. Remember of the demoniac who was healed, and those demons went into a herd of pigs. And that town was very upset at Jesus because they were all looking at the money. It's all about the money. My goodness, as my dad said, if it's all about the money, he says, go out. There's plenty of jobs out there. Go out and make all you want. And then if you're alive when you come back, let me know. Because some people actually work themselves to death. And Jesus is saying, look, it's time. And other times it's not. And other times I have to wait on the Lord. And it's the right time. You know, And I've got somebody I'm working with another outreach plan, and there's another person I'm praying about right now to try to work in the community. And, you know, God, sometimes he closes doors, gets a ministry started, a couple ministries started, praise God, like we did here at the high school, and it's doors closed now. It's time to move on to other things. And so, you know, you're there, and you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. And so Jesus is saying, look up, lift your eyes, and look upon the fields. They are white unto harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. So there are those today that we, you know, you reap for God's blessings. You know, you're reaping, you sow, you know, in life. Everything that we do under the sun, like Solomon said, you know, God is not mocked, like it says in Galatians, Paul had to say. But, you know, we are sowers. We sow in prayer. We sow in love. We sow with our families and people that we care about. And then we see that God wants us to reward us and gather us fruit unto eternal life. So we sow and we gather us fruit. In other words, we have what has been shown for our work. And, you know, some people get very discouraged today. Because they say, I don't see anything. Well, you know what? God's in the business of doing things. And he's got things going on in the background that we have no idea. And he has many good things for us that we don't know about. And so he is ready to bless us. And that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. In other words, when there's been reaping time and sowing times, that we all rejoice in it. Some people misinterpret Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, where, you know, for those who will, you know, bring many souls to the Lord, they are wise, and they'll shine as stars as in the firmament. Well, it's all of us have a part in that reaping and that sowing and the watering. Give you an example here, and this is so important, so people don't get discouraged. In scripture we have here in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, remember, they had an issue going on with Paul and Apollos and Jesus and Cephas, which is the name Peter. And they say, we're all walking after these people. And, you know, we take pride in these great teachers that we have. And I love where it's all cut to the chase there. That you have some that were there that were planted by God in his grace, his seed. Okay. Others that were nurtured, God watered it. God gave it the increase. Others prayed. There are so many areas in the church today where we're all partakers with. And of course, Paul took care of that situation in 1 Corinthians, and he took care of it quickly. He says, thank God I was not part of any of this. I baptized none of you, okay? Because you're all following after men and not Christ. This Samaritan woman was following after Christ. The disciples saw what was going on. They were excited. They were like, this is a teachable moment. Okay? There wouldn't be another miracle not till later on in John chapter 4 where a man was raised from the dead. That's miracle number 2 in John's gospel. The first one, remember, it was the water being turned into wine. Why? It was to show the disciples who? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the incarnate one. Moving along here, and it says here, verse 37, and hereon is the saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, and saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that he ever did. God is sovereign. These people came back. She went out, remember, few minutes ago I was mentioning that they all came back with Samaritans. And it's amazing that God knows what's going on. You know, we do a lot of work here. We do a church for our size. We do a lot. And yet God is getting the glory. I see what he's doing. We talked about that a few weeks ago. John the Baptist is like, hey, you got people, Jesus and his disciples are actually Jesus' disciples are baptizing up the river. I'm baptizing down here. There was no spirit of competition going on. And that's why at this one ministry I was previously at, being involved, I had to back off because there was a spirit of competition going on. I'm like, I don't want to be competitive here. I'm backing off. I did my work. Things got started. Now God's putting me, I've got other areas I believe God's called me to here in the Oconomowoc area. And that's good because God has his people there. Praise him, give him the glory. Our prayers were answered. We got something started over at the high school. And that's good enough because God had a reason for it. John saying, hey, he must increase, I must decrease. Hey, you know what? That he was telling, John was telling his disciples, hey, it's okay because we serve all the same Lord. We're there for a purpose. And thank God for each one of us here. You guys are just fantastic. You don't even realize it, but seeing in my eyes through Christ, couldn't ask for better people. And, you know, she comes on back. She says, you know, this Jesus told me things that I didn't even have to tell him. Isn't that great today that Jesus knows all about us and our hearts and our minds? He knows how we click and how we talk and how we walk. And Lord, have mercy on all of us that he still loves us. You know, he's still good. Tell it wherever we go. There's so many bad things in the world today. I can't even look at the news more than 5 or 10 minutes. Well, I have to. I got to keep up on things. But, you know, God knows. And he's not the author of sins. And by the way, real quickly, it's because of sin we're in the mess that we're in today. Don't let anybody blame God, the blame God game. And the Samaritan woman didn't do that. She was asking Jesus questions. Let's get on verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him, and he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. Could you imagine being with Jesus for 2 whole days? Could you just imagine it? Well, you know, we have the Holy Spirit today. We have Jesus. You know, when we have our songs sent out earlier in the week, the musicians, I call them, send an email. I go through the hymn book and I'm like, oh, wow, this is so neat. And this, you know, ties in with my message. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, I feel like Jesus is with me, you know. And those periods of time throughout the day that we had Jesus with us, of course, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there 24/7. He never sleeps on us. He doesn't sleep in on us. But you know what? 2 whole days in the flesh. Amazing. Amazing grace, I tell you. So, and yet, verse 41, and many more believe because of his word. Okay? People today are looking for miracles, they're looking for signs, they're looking for wonders, looking for all of Jesus in all the wrong places. He's there in spirit. He's in the word. He's in our lives. He's changing our lives. He's transforming us to be more and more like him. Verse 42, and says, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because, and this is the Samaritan saying, this is not because of the woman. Yes, God uses us this past week, and he will use us this week. Listen to this, this is very important. We are his instruments, but we give him glory. People will be directed to Jesus, the straight and narrow. And now we believe not because of saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ. In other words, they're saying, now we know because, you know what? We have the word here today. This is Jesus 24/7 right here. And we have the Holy Spirit. And guess what the exciting part is? We left our water pots behind a long time ago. We're going out and telling people about Jesus. We can't. wait to tell people about the Lord. That what? He is, and this is the annex here, that He is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior. You know? Oh, and you know, this week I pray that it will be a blessing to every one of us. The people that we that know us will know that we know the Lord. Okay? We know it and we show it. You know? It's like that old thing we used to do in elementary school. You know, show and tell. Show and tell about Jesus. You know, show it, you know it, and you know, let God be given the honor and glory. So I'm gonna end with this. Jesus was excited too, because he didn't have any hunger. There was no more hunger. Okay? And the lady at the well, she was forgiven. She was like, forget the water. I got the real water. I understand what Jesus is talking about. The springs of living water. And in John 24, it says in John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit of truth. Pray that this week, I'm finishing, done with this. Pray that this week that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, so that we can be refreshed like a cold cup of water going down our throats, refreshing that cool feeling that Jesus is sweet. That Jesus is the Savior of the world. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you now in prayer, and we thank you, Lord, we could put ourselves at the well. We are like that woman who was laden with sins. Lord, just pray that people will humble and realize that you are Lord and you are the Savior of the world. And Lord, that God, that you don't look at people because of their color of their skin. Lord, you don't look at people's excuses. And you don't look at people's religion, but you look at their hearts. And when a soul is searching, God, there is nothing more precious than that in your sight. It's just like two people coming together who meet each other for the first time and they just hit it off. It's just a wonderful relationship. And Lord, thank you so much for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the precious blood and for the precious death that you did for us on Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that even at that time when the Father had to turn from the Son and say, from sin, because the Son was made sin, that you cried out, Lord Jesus, why hast thou forsaken me? Because, oh Father, we know that the Son was made sin. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. You're made sin for us. You took our sins. You put them on the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died to us, and that your perfect body was put into rest in a grave. And then the third day, the stone was rolled away again, and your angels said to Martha and Mary, he's not here. Who do you look for? He's risen. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful relationship that we have. We have a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior, the Savior of the world. Lord, that woman, I wish, well, we're there this morning and present in spirit and truth. We understood the excitement and the people that were there that were getting saved. For 2 days, people were turning over to you. Didn't matter because they were Samaritan or Jewish. Lord, look at the heart. Look at the mind. Thank you for our salvation. We pray, Lord, we continue to pray. We'll be sowers and reapers in the harvest. And Lord, we just pray people will get saved and show us how to continually. We pray this. And Lord, we want revival. We want revival. And Lord, it starts at home. Just pray too, if there's people here, Lord, that want revival in their life, that, Lord, that you continue to work on them and you continue to work in people's lives, and how we can get revival started in every which way in our lives. And we thank you for prayers, because we could not do without them. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the victory and we have the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.